Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
6:09, Ruined Dits for breakfast on this Thursday, thanks to Adelaide Tools. Ru, we will cross to London in a moment. We're not ignoring the towering inferno story. However, the other things that are making news around the place, there's a bit of local stuff. The hospital here in Adelaide, we've had an announcement finally.
Yeah, September 5th, it's going to be open, so everyone should be over their sickness by then and they can move people in there comfortably and hopefully get off to a really good start.
Now, I'm just wondering, it is downhill, I reckon, from the old RA to the new one. If you're on a bed with wheels...
If you get it straight, you could push it.
If they do a line of witches' hats and have like a bus lane, just have a you know, some sort of bed lane and let them all roll downhill and away you go.
You could have races. You could do whatever you
Wheelchair
want.
Wheelchair races. But quite seriously, that's going to be a big exercise, isn't it? How we shift everyone.
I think it's bigger than what we all
Is it going to be a constant stream of ambulances? And
probably shut North Terrace for a while. Yeah. Who knows? They might do it during night. I don't know. But they said it is a very, very big exercise.
I'd hate to get to the bottom in my wheelchair and think, bloody hell, I left my purse back up on the bedside cabin.
A bit of exercise never hurt anyone, Dits. So that's happening, and we'll start the 29 years of $400 million a year to service the hospital, but it is going to be the best hospital in the world, they're saying.
Something I saw Jay Weatherall say last night, which I wasn't aware of, but is it 27 years that we're paying it off, or 29 years, at which time they're building
30,
a new hospital
late.
For us? Pardon? So we'll have an up... Unless I totally misheard what he said, we then get a new hospital built for us. Is that right or not?
No, I haven't heard that part.
That's not right. No. Or an upgrade.
Never heard any of that. I think we own it at that point.
No, I know that, but I'm pretty sure he said... Anyway, I'll investigate what it was.
Investigate, Dits, and get back to us. Telstra cutting 1,400 jobs across Australia, 120 of those in Adelaide. So not good news, but sign of the times when you can do business cheaper overseas. That's what a lot of these companies are doing to try and make ends meet.
Yeah, some sporting stories that are around as well, Ru. Glenelg Football Club. Now, this is good. I see where the... and well done to the City of Holdfast Bay Council too for coming to the party here. But they've sat around. These discussions have been going on for a long, long time. Our good friend Nick Chigwidden's been involved. He's the president of Glenelg these days. But they've done an incredible job to actually arrive at a sensible decision. They're going to turn Glenelg into a real sporting hub.
Yep.
Won't just be the Glenelg Football Club from what I can gather moving forward. So some common sense has prevailed. And I think it goes back to the day when they decided to open a function centre down there, and it's just unfortunately never worked for them, and they've been...
But Nord are doing about to do the same thing, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are. But you can learn from the way other people have done
it. Hopefully they can do it properly, and hopefully they don't go into debt and do the same.
But theirs is
the
more
same
about
issues.
Having a football club as well, because as you know, theirs closed down years ago.
Yep.
So they need a headquarters.
Good luck to Glenelg. They're one of the three teams that KG said were looking at amalgamation. So now leave South Adelaide and West Adelaide as the other two. So
well, for the changes being made at Glenelg, maybe they're not a part of it.
Well, they won't be now, by the sounds, if that deal's been done, because they've got at least 5 years of grace, so there's no way you'd look at amalgamation.
Yeah. Back page of the paper today, Ru, you've got to try and hang on to this young Jake Lever. Now, it's not just the advertiser, I can tell you, huge story in the Herald Sun today.
Yep.
And it's not often they write about an Adelaide Crow, because they only focus on their own teams over there, but they are saying that the clubs are circling.
Yeah,
you need to keep hold of him.
Oh, look, he's a good player, he's a good leader, he's a good kid, full stop, capital letter. But he has said he wants to stay at the club. He said that it will get tidied up in the not-too-distant future. He said that a number of times, and you can only believe what he says. So, I love him as a player, and I think he'll be at the Adelaide Football Club for a long time.
Well, that's good news for all of your followers. And just finally, another sporting story, Ru. I was going online today. Roger Federer just missed the clay court season, didn't play the French Open, and he's raring to go now, wants to obviously fire up for Wimbledon. He's had a press conference. He's had the roof painted.
What do you mean?
He's got blonde hair all of a sudden.
What, blonde?
Not totally blonde, but he's got all these blonde tips. Like he looks totally different.
Oh, the old streaks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, at his age.
In a midlife crisis.
Why would he bother?
Might have been to a buck show on the weekend.
Could have been.
Fell asleep.
Flower bomb, yeah. Might have. Yeah.
The anyway, old Fed. You wouldn't expect him to be going to the hairdresser.
Very conservative, the old Fed. Anyway, that's what's making news right around the place. In a moment, we will cross to London. This towering inferno is just a terrible story.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Another sad world event, unfortunately, happening in London overnight. You've seen the pictures. It's one of the most amazing, towering infernos we've ever, ever seen. Let's cross to Channel 7 Sunrise reporter Hugh Whitfield. Hugh, London just, I don't know, cannot take a trick at the moment. The people there just have to be so resilient, I guess.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, it's been a very tough year, and it's only, the middle of June. It's just getting to dusk here, coming up to 10 o'clock at night. And as it gets darker, we can see where this fire is still burning. I reckon I can count at least half a dozen. I'm on the eastern side, at least half a dozen apartments, so I can see that it's still burning. We've watched fireys today using remote-controlled fire hoses on the end of a crane to try and get as high as they can to put these spot fires out. I guess the wind may be picking up or something, but the flames certainly do seem to be returning here in the evening. A bit of smoke still billowing out as well. We spent a bit of time on the western side, on the other side to where we are right now this afternoon, and you can smell the burning plastic in the air. And all through the streets on that side, there's just like bits of ash, bits of burnt building material, bits of the building that are basically charcoal and have blown off in the wind.
How many confirmed casualties, Hugh, and how many people unaccounted for?
Yeah, look, at this stage, 12 confirmed dead by the Metropolitan Police, 78 people in hospital, 18 considered critical. 10 of those people managed to get themselves to hospital without the help of paramedics and ambulance crews. In terms of the unaccounted for number, the missing, nobody really knows for sure. We think maybe in the order of 200 at least checked into one recovery centre today. There's about four or five recovery centres. There were 600 people inside this building.
Sure.
People trying to use social media, Facebook, Twitter to try and, raise awareness of people who they have not heard from all day. Look, it's anyone's guess. I reckon the death toll is going to be pretty bad. There's a community leader quoted in The Sun tonight as saying he's been told by authorities that the death toll could be as high as 50.
Oh, gee. People blaming this cladding that they're talking about, a cladding called ACM, which stands for aluminium composite material. Is that what they're saying, why it's the building's gone up? I know they're talking about a fridge might have exploded or something like that started it.
Yeah.
But is that the word on the street?
Yeah, but fridge exploding doesn't cause a flood fire like this. So there's a lot of anger directed at this renovation that was done a couple of months ago, and residents have been calling out about the fire safety in this building for some time. It seems as though when you look at the pictures, the flames just wrap themselves around this tower that's completely covered in this cladding.
Wow.
It's seemingly full of oil, full of petrochemicals, full of plastic, and it's just burnt, and in some places melted down. You can see where it's melted down. And this building was designed so badly, it seems. It was finished in 1974. There's obviously lifts inside because it's 27 stories, but one stairwell for 600 people,
no.
120 apartments. Common sense suggests that is just dumb.
Hugh, we know you've got other commitments, mate. We'll let you go. Thanks so much for that report. Channel 7 Sunrise reporter Hugh Whitfield. Rue, just tell me more about that cladding, because I know you read about this earlier this morning.
Oh, listen, it's called ACM. It stands for aluminium composite material. Okay, so this is, it's been blamed for nearly a dozen major high-rise fires globally in the past decade, including one in Melbourne in 2014.
So we have it here in Australia.
Yes, we've had it here. I don't know whether they're still using it. I'm not sure what the Australian standards are, but I mean, I know just from being in pubs with fire exits, what they're talking about there, you know, you have to be absolutely on the ball with fire exits and lights for people to get out every 20. Whenever you're inside a pub, you've got 20 metres that you have to get to a fire exit at any stage. But the fire exit's one thing, but the cladding, the material used in building is certainly another thing. It'd be interesting to see what comes out of this, if it's got anything to do with it or not. You'd think London would have very high standards.
A lot of very old buildings, though. Although this one was renovated just recently, but it turns out they might have used the wrong materials. But some of the buildings there are very, very old.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if you could get away with using the wrong material, Dits. But
from what we know, that building wouldn't get past today. You can't have one stairwell for 600 people.
Yeah, unless it's an old building where you don't have to renovate any, like the fire escapes, but the composites, the cladding stuff is there's a big question mark over that.
So 12 confirmed dead at the moment. He said maybe as high as 50.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Let's go to chat. We're going to have to rattle the cans here, aren't we?
Jeez.
How much have you got in your pocket?
I more than one segment a week.
How much loose change have you got?
Oh, I got a couple of bucks.
Yeah, all right. We're all here to help out. Peter Hellyer, good morning.
Yes, yeah, so I went into Channel 10 yesterday and I said, I'm a celebrity. Do I still have a job here?
What's going on, Pete? Now, even with an award-winning show like yours, they're not making money. Imagine if they didn't have you.
Not only do we have award-winning shows on Channel 10, we also have a show called Shark Tank, where they apparently have billionaire geniuses who apparently can't work out how to get out of this situation.
That's right.
Maybe you'll get the Channel 10 boss going in there soon to ask the sharks, what should we do in this situation? Should you buy Channel 10, sharks?
Yeah.
We might be owned by that Esky with the cricket stumps by the end of the week.
That's got more of a market capitalisation than the station.
Oh, gee.
Do you guys need any work done around Valenti? Any Black Thunders that need to be
Black Thunder. It was funny last night, though, Pete. I enjoyed the little sketch. For those that missed it, tell us what happened.
Oh, Carrie was reporting on the story because we had needed to report on it. Obviously, it's a news story, and we cut out halfway through, and the test pattern came up, and then it was just me holding a plug. The one thing I'll say about Channel 10 throughout, I think I've been at Channel 10 for about 14 years, you know, and
so you're responsible.
So I'm responsible.
Long service, Pete. Do something different.
There's been no progression since. Hey, I think you won a Brad. Did you win a Brownlow when the footy was at Channel 10?
It was 2003. So you work it out. I can't remember.
I reckon you were. So I reckon we might need to claim that Brownlow back. To be honest, mate. But I do think we will certainly have a sense of humour about it. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens. We've been told it's business as usual. The project's certainly safe and not going anywhere. But there'll no doubt be some movement within 10. But you know, we'll always have our sense of humour at Channel 10, and we'll continue to do stuff like that. But until we don't get paid, it will no longer be joke o'clock at that point. I think there. You know, I'm meeting with the board this afternoon, and I'm going to suggest a few ideas. I think the next series of Australian Survivor could be based at Channel 10 offices to save some money. Maybe doing Gogglebox just 24/7 for a little while. We may not be able to afford the Gogglebox, so it'd just be like live pictures of their houses, of their couches. And the living room, we can't afford the living room anymore. I think they're going to have to move to a granny flat. So it'll be, Miguel and the gang just in a granny flat. Maybe having a garage sale, Mac Preston's cravat could probably fetch a tidy sum. All the gym equipment from The Biggest Loser, I'm pretty sure even if we survive, we won't be using that again.
I was going to say, if you could auction these things, I want to buy Fat Cat. If he's around, how much would that cost me, do you think?
I'll give you Fat Cat for $1,000, and I'll throw in the Mully Grub as well.
All right.
There's plenty of money to be raised here.
I'll throw in the Kids and Cheese TV as well. I think they're in their 40s now, but I'll throw them in as well.
Well, it's good that we can have a laugh. And it sounds as though things will carry on. They'll arrive at a deal and make sure
the Murdochs will find a few dollars.
They should.
I've got absolutely no doubt this will all turn out, and they're probably shifting. They're shifting things around a bit at the moment, but it'll all turn out well. Channel 10 will be alive and strong for a long time, like I said, we'll continue to keep our sense of humour, and we'll be on there certainly tonight, and
just get through to the weekend, Pete. Take it one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Good on you, Pete. Thanks for talking to us.
Good on you guys.
I'm very sad, Pete. See you, mate.
Hell yeah. he said he wants to drive a Black Thunder.
That's very good.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ru, you could say the midway part of the season. Most teams are having their bye or have had their bye.
Yep.
Talking about Port Adelaide this morning, their coach joins us, Ken Hinckley, at the partway mark. We are 6-5, the power. How does he see it? Let's find out. Ken Hinckley, good morning.
Morning, boys.
What do you think, Ken? 6-5. How do you rate that so far?
Look, reasonably consistent until the weekend. Probably would have been nice to be one more win, one less loss in a really even competition. You know, obviously, we'd all like to be 11 and zip, but that's the competition we play is not going to allow that to happen very often, I wouldn't have thought. So, yeah, we're probably maybe one off where we'd ideally like to be. We just got to make sure we make the most of the second half.
All right, you say one off, and look, in sport, we people don't like it when you say, oh, we could have done this and we should have done that, but really the Geelong one got away, the Crows game was winnable, West Coast was winnable, so, you know, and as I said, I know people will always say, but you didn't win them, but they weren't far away, were they?
No, that's what I said. We'd been up until last Saturday night, we've been incredibly consistent as a football team, and yeah, we'd lost some close games, and Geelong, as we all know, is tough as it gets, and the West Coast game's probably a game for me at home. I felt like we just should have won the game almost with the number of entries that we had against them, and we just couldn't convert. But, you know, all things being what they are, you're not never going to win them all, but you give yourself a chance, it's a good way to be.
Was last week a physical thing or a mental thing? I just would have thought if it was mental, Ken, you would have responded after quarter time. But we've seen a lot of sides this year go through fortnights or even 3 or 4 weeks for the Crows where they were a bit flat. Geelong were like that for a while earlier as well. Are they just a bit tired at the moment, or you've had your bye? You probably shouldn't be that as well, should you?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think you're right. Every side's had it. Now, I think it's more about, you know, the opposition you come up against on a day and at a time. You know, as you said, you know, you talk about the Crows in the North Melbourne game and, you know, what it looked like and, you know, us last week against Essendon and, you know, as you said, Geelong, I think, have been beaten by the Gold Coast. And so it's gone on all through the season. And, you know, I think it sometimes it just goes to game to back up. If, you know, we went into the game on last Saturday night. Look, I'll be honest, I thought we were really ready for the game. And it looked like from all the preparation leading into the game, you don't try to judge that too often as a coach, but you just sense that the boys were ready. But, well, credit where the credit's due. The other side just blew us off the park and we couldn't recover. We tried for the first 5 or 6 minutes of the second quarter and then they came again and that probably shut the gate.
I've been a big rat for the way the side's gone about their footy this year, Ken. I said earlier on in the season, I think you can win the flag, but then I see the stat where you haven't beaten a top eight side yet, but then in the same breath we're talking about how close you were to Geelong and the Crows and teams like that. But is that your next big test now to actually claim a few scalps in the top eight?
Yeah, people say it all the time. I don't buy into it too much. Look, you beat who you have to beat when you beat them, you know, and it depends sometimes on when you do play them. But yes, there's absolutely no doubt you've got to beat the best teams if you're going to be competing against them. This competition, you know, I think just take every component on their merits and play them when you have to play them. And you know, we've got a run of games that are about to appear that everyone are probably around the same sort of spot where we're trying to establish themselves and they are too. You know, when you look at our draw, we get Collingwood, Richmond, Brisbane this week, and then you've got West Coast, North Melbourne, Melbourne, St Kilda. So it's a really strong mix in that group of probably 4th yeah. to 13th. So we're going to find out probably where we are in the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Ken, Dixon and Ryder, we're now seeing as Port Adelaide supporters just how important and how good these two blokes are and how good they can be moving forward.
Yeah, we are, ain't we? It's funny, they were bad gets not long ago, and yep. Now they're pretty good gets. So the missing piece, the secret recipe, all the things that people talk about. Both boys are just great people, and they work their butts off. And you know, when you've got people like that, they're eventually going to get to where they want. There's always an adjustment period, you know, and certainly for Charlie, he's got his body going and seems to be in the right space. And Paddy, when you get him for 12 months and they miss a year, it's a little bit unfortunately for us. But both boys now, you know, and we see that when they play well, we tend to play pretty well.
Yeah, could Ryder be all Australian right now, do you think?
I think probably Adelaide teams own the ruck spot, don't they?
Yeah, you're right. One or two of them.
I thought, you know, Jake's been enormous, I think, for the Crows as well, and Ryder's been that way for us. But, you know, when you do your own plays, you're probably hard to even be asked about them because you're always going to support them. And, yep. And for me, Paddy's been pretty good.
Are Robbie Gray's groins getting managed, Ken?
Nah.
So he's fully fit, 100% fit?
Yeah, Robbie's not.
That's just a tactical move to play him that long in the forward line.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely a tactical move to play him in the forward line from that point of view. And we made a decision at the start of the year that we were going to make some change to our positions that we play with some players. And certainly Robbie was one of them. And he was going to be a little bit more pinch hit in the midfield and a bit more forward than we have in the past. And we've stuck with that pretty well so far because mainly because of Ebert and Wines and Power Pepper and big body mids have been what we think have been important to us. And, you know, we think we can get supply in our front half, which we've done, you know, 10 out of 11 games. We've been able to get the ball in our front half and lock it in there pretty well. And that makes Robbie Gray and, you know, even Chad dangerous when it's in there. But Charlie and all those players that play around there are really important for us. But, yeah, look, Rob would like to be playing a little bit better consistently. He's finding that a bit more of a challenge.
Well, it's hard in the forward line being consistent. Now, a few people talking about some changes this week. I think you even said that there'll be some changes. I think Kane Corns mentioned Jasper Pittard, which is a bit rich maybe from where I sit. But is there any big names that could come up for a change this week? Are you going to let us in on any, or we'll just have to wait and see till tonight?
We'll wait a little bit longer, but we'll make some changes. But you know, some of those changes are because of the form of the Magpies, as much as anything else. And we've been, as I said, really consistent. But yeah, we've got some players who are not in their best form, and you know, there comes a time when you have to respond. And what I've been mindful of is those players get some opportunity to show that they can get back into that form. And then there comes a point where you've got to make some change. And right now, we'll make one or two changes, or two or three changes probably. It's just a matter of who we put into the side, and hopefully those people we put in bring an enthusiasm, because some of them mightn't have had an opportunity yet.
Mm. Yeah, Ken, I've just got a list of names here I want to read out to you, and obviously it's hard to keep all of these players together in football clubs these days, but this young group, just look at the next couple of years. There's Impey, Pittard, Wingard, Robbie Gray, Dougal, Howard. You got young Houston in defence, Ollie Wines, Power Pepper, Aidan Johnson, Carl Amon, Burn Jones, Archie. And I've probably left out someone, but that's a great young group, isn't it? When you think, if they could all be together for the next 5 or 6 years, anything could happen, really.
Yeah, look, I think that's fair, Disc. And I've had a really close look at our list. We got a really quite a young but ready nearly to go list with some of them younger players. And I think, you know, some Atlee, Drew and Marshall, who we drafted last year, you're going to see them play football and a lot of football at AFL level at some time in the near future, I would imagine. We're in a pretty healthy position, and I think that's what happens. You get a young group together, and that was our strategy last year in the draft, was to bring in four that we thought that could perhaps be around for a long period of time. You don't always get that right, but it looks like at the moment we've got some time in front of us that is exciting, but we've got some time right now that's equally as exciting.
Good on you, Ken. Thanks for joining us, and good luck against Brisbane this weekend.
Good on you, boys.
Talk Thanks, Kenny.
Good on you. Well done. Been a good season so far, Roo. But, couple of wins that they could have snuck in might have helped out as well.
Next couple of months will define where they go.
Yeah. Hey, in a moment, Roo, Darren Hinch has had a lot to say under parliamentary privilege. This is quite controversial, which he always is, but he wants to name and shame sexual predators in Australia. We'll get to that next. Roo and Dits on Triple M.
Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's pressure test. And
we've opened the purse strings here,
yes.
Triple M.
It's now even bigger. Every weekday at 8 a.m, we play for $5,000.
We are going to give a lucky listener every day at 8 o'clock the chance to win $5,000.
Triple M's 5K pressure test. Now, 8 a.m. Monday to Friday. With Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Pressure test, eh?
104.7.
We are doing the 5K pressure test. Unbelievable.
Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, the human headline, he's at it again. Senator Darren Hinch these days, as we know, he's used parliamentary privilege to name, now this is a South Australian sex offender and a real repeat offender as well. And Darren never holds back on these issues. In fact, he's been convicted before for naming people that he shouldn't have, and he's got the courage to do it again. Let's get him on. Senator Darren Hinch, good morning.
Gentlemen, it sounds funny, doesn't it? Good morning. Good to talk to you. Yeah.
Darren, I guess if I read between the lines here, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I think what you've said is that, you know, we always name murderers. We know who they are. Why aren't we naming sexual predators? Is that what it's about?
That's what it's about. And also, another thing, you're entitled to know who lives next door to you, if they're sex offenders, whatever. But I want to be very careful. It's going to cost you guys your salary, so I won't be naming the person on your program. I can say that there is a man, and I haven't used this parliamentary privilege very often, only about two or three times, but this man was involved in a terrible crime in your state. Mm-hmm. He then had his name suppressed, went to Melbourne, and has been involved in a string of rapes of teenage girls, 13 of them, in
13.
Melbourne. 13, and his name was, because his name was suppressed, he did only 35 months in jail for all those rapes. He stalked these girls. He followed them from the trains. He did all this. Less than 3 years in jail. He's out again. He's anonymous. He's in Melbourne. He'll probably be out there tonight. And part of his modus operandi was setting up bogus Facebook pages. He's doing it again. I've seen two pages that he's doing it again with about 200 or 300 followers, and nobody knows. And I thought, this is not good enough, and so I named him. And so that tied in with what also happened yesterday. We got through the House of Representatives, my passport ban on pedophiles going overseas for what I call child rape holidays. That went through the House yesterday. I was sitting down there in the House of Reps watching it, and I must admit I got tears in my eyes. And Judy Bishop came up to me, the Foreign Minister, and said afterwards, she shook my hand and she said, "That's why you got into politics, wasn't it, Derek?" And I said, "Yeah, it was. It was. And very satisfying."
I think everyone would agree with you. Why the hell are we protecting them? And why are they getting out? That is disgusting if he's done 13 of these offences. I mean, one chance is enough in this area, and some would say it's too many chances. How the hell can you get 13?
Yeah, well, when I'm being asked about, you know, naming people and people's civil rights and things, I said about the sex register, the offenders register I want to get up as well, the National Public Register. I said, if you rape somebody, what about their civil rights? I said, if you rape a child, you lose your civil rights.
Yeah. Exactly. What about our rights to know who's next to us? I mean, we should be thinking that we can live in a safe area.
Well, you can't and you don't. In one Melbourne newspaper group tried to get the police to give them just the area codes. They could see, do we have like 10 convicted sex offenders living in our area? And they wouldn't even give them the postcodes. Now, when I started work on this, given the passport ban on these sex holidays, I didn't believe the actress Rachel Griffiths when she first alerted me to it. I said, that can't be true. She sent me a note. And I went and checked with the Justice Minister and the federal cops. Do you know that there are 20,000 Australian men and a few women on the National Child Sex Offender Register? 20,000, and about 800 of them go overseas every year, and 350 of them go off to Cambodia and Vietnam and Thailand on these child rape holidays.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is just... And when I was talking to the Prime Minister last night at what they call the midwinter ball, and I said, what surprised me... He was congratulating me on getting this bill through. I said, what surprises me? I said, what Tanya Plibersek said to me the other day, why didn't it happen before? And I said, I don't know, you guys are almost old enough. I said, I'm like Julius Sumner Miller, walking around saying, why is this so?
Yeah. Darren, you've been in trouble for this sort of thing before, but we all applaud what you've done. Will this land you in hot water as well?
Oh, I don't know. But my standing joke my standing joke has always been, Hinch is a man of his convictions. I wish he didn't have so many.
Very good. Right. Now, before you leave us with an important question, who did you dance with at the ball last night?
Now, I'll tell you what. Last year, I took Jackie Lambie as my secret date. And we proved you can keep a secret in Canberra, because we knew for 2 weeks and nobody else did.
Wow.
Somebody got the Australian got the word. They said, Hinch is bringing Jackie. And my staff said, yes, you're right. They thought it was Jackie Weaver coming in from Hollywood, but it wasn't. It was Jackie Lambie.
Yeah.
Judy Bishop said to me, who are you taking? You're taking Pauline tonight. And I said, no. And I said, and your producer will like this line. I said, no, actually, I can tell you, Julie. I said, I'm going with somebody I love. She's like, that's sweet. I said, yeah, I'm taking myself.
Good on you, Darren, mate. Keep up the good work. I think most of Australia is right behind you.
Always good to talk to you guys. I never dreamed the last time we had a meal together that I'd be a senator at this stage. I've jumped the shark and I'm loving it.
Okay. Good on you.
Well done, Senator Darren Hinch.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruin Dits for Breakfast, thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Let's head to Melbourne and get our number one friend on, Mick Molloy. G'day, Mick.
Our number one friend.
Yeah.
That's a big intro, Mick.
Yeah.
I'm rising up the ranks. I was happy to be in the top 10, but number one.
Number one.
Yeah,
Hopefully I can stay there for the home and away season.
Yeah, it's weekly.
Win the minor premiership and see what happens.
That's exactly right.
All right. Hey, guys, what's the naughtiest thing you've ever done? Don't answer that just yet. This is in honour, of course, of the English PM, not for long, Theresa May, who was asked in the lead-up to the election.
She's
a bad girl. Yeah. She likes to live on the edge. Have a listen to her. How English is this? This is her responding to a question about the naughtiest thing she's ever done.
What's the naughtiest thing you ever did?
Oh, goodness me. I suppose the... gosh,
Do you know? I'm not quite sure.
Well, there must have been a moment.
Nobody's ever perfectly behaved, are they? I mean, you know, I have to confess, when me and my friends sort of used to run through the fields of wheat, the farmers weren't too pleased about that.
Oh, no.
I love a bad girl.
They weren't nude.
Well, you'd hope so. Then again, now you've taken me to a very dark place.
Mick, what about the language she uses? Gosh.
Oh, my God.
If she uses language as strong as that, we're not having her on again.
Don't ever play that.
We should have dumped that, or at least beeped it. Can you think? I'm trying to think of the naughtiest things I ever did in line with that. Do you remember I remember breaking up with a girl by dumping her at the football one night. That was a true story. I actually said, I'm going to get a pie and some chips. Do you want anything? She said, no, and I just left.
Oh, no.
Come on, Mick.
What quarter was it?
It was early. Even for a Richmond fan, it was early to leave. I was about a quarter and a half in, but I went, you know, like, Richmond's my thing. And then all of a sudden, we're going to the footy together.
Very
hard for me to be myself. At the football with said lady in tow. So anyway, I wasn't my proudest
slow
moment.
Start just, to the game, was it?
Or? I just left and kept leaving and went home. Didn't answer the phone for a couple of days. You know what? I know it's not the most mature way to break up with a woman, but got the job done.
Well, it was sort of face to face.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. She's still sitting there, though. That's the only thing. Tell her to go. Crikey. Someone should say, he's not coming back. He's not.
She's still be there. I remember, you know, another naughty thing. Did you know the first film I ever got into underage was Porky's?
Great flick.
Porky's, I thought, I'm going to have a crack at this. This is the old 15-year-old pretending to be 18. And snuck in and bang, what a ripper that was.
Yeah.
When it comes to adolescent joy. A 15-year-old boy sitting in an adult cinema watching a bunch of guys look through a peephole into a girl's bathroom. Doesn't get any better than that. What about you boys? Anything you'd like to fess up? Worst thing you've ever done?
I don't know where to start.
Ramsgate involved?
Ramsgate wasn't a great thing, I suppose, if I could throw that one up.
Come on, Dits.
Well, I've got a couple. I was bad with the old milk money when I was a kid.
Yeah, used to steal people's
milk
money.
Sorry to everyone listening. Sorry. Yeah. I was a thief. I was a thief as a kid.
Well, runs in the family.
Yeah.
Old tea leaf.
Yeah. That's where I got my speed from.
His grandpa went to jail,
stood me in good stead when I was flying around the world.
You got that big engine.
That's right.
All right.
When you're on the front lawn on hands and knees and the couple come home in their car, bloody hell, you have to move quick, I tell you.
Yeah. We're trying to get in where the money was. You're on the hands
and
knees.
Under the front porch. We'd be crawling across the lawn like, you know, commando style, trying to be as quiet as possible, thinking they're all inside asleep. Next, when a car pulled in the driveway. Oh, shit.
What do you do?
Get up and run off. Yeah.
More than we bargained for.
You don't want to have red hair when you get caught doing that. So you stand out.
That's got to end in tears. This will be a good one for your callers. I reckon they'll have plenty to
actually,
add.
The corporate one
What have you been caught thieving?
What about, tell you one you'd like, Mick, years and years ago when I was a struggling, poor little squash player traveling around the world. Mate and I got on the plane one day and said, just sit in business class because there's a lot of it was back in the days when, I don't know, planes weren't as full as they are now. And we sat down. We got away with it. We thought, this is good. So we kept trying to do it. And we got away with it for about 2 weeks. We got on two flights and just sat, you know, just picked a random seat, put my gear up top, making look like I was at home. And then the third time we tried it, bloke comes up with the, you know, long list of passengers. Goes, excuse me, sir, can I see your ticket? And anyway, we stood up and in front of the whole joint marched us down the back. Don't ever do that again.
I'm in 12A, not 2A.
Yeah, sorry.
Walk of shame.
Walk of shame.
Pull the curtains, you're never allowed back. Yep. Hey, just before we go, guys, I just want to say a quick cheerio and a vale to the inventor of the Hawaiian pizza who died this week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he's a Hawaiian pizza. He's a bloke who's in Canada. He invented the pizza. He was mucking around one day. He had the pizza out, and he decided to put some tin pineapple on it. The brand name of the brand was called Hawaiian, and he called it a Hawaiian pizza. Caused great controversy. It still rages to this date. Pineapple on pizza. Are you a fanboy?
Yes, he's a genius.
Mick, I'm surprised you'd know anything about pizzas.
Oh, mate, this is my strong suit. I was at the funeral. when I was at the funeral, I was there when they loaded him into the wood-fired oven.
The wood-fired oven.
I was one of the pallbearers. We put him into a giant pizza box.
Let's do it one last time.
Do you know what? As they lowered him into the ground at the funeral, they said, if the coffin isn't buried within 20 minutes, no one has to pay for it.
And the hearse was a little Domino's car. What did they put him into?
The hearse had a big red phone on the roof.
Dino's.
Anyway.
Well done, Mick. Good on you, mate.
All right, guys.
Good on you, Mick. See ya. I'm rocking the
suburbs. Triple M Suburban Songs. White Jeeps keep on rolling. Burn songs. With Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets. Suburban Taxis. Rocking whatever suburb you need to get to. 131 008.
Oh, good morning once again, Gleeso.
Morning, boys. How's it going?
Now, Gleeso, these Suburban Songs, some weeks, they're getting like 180 or 190,000 hits.
It is really unbelievable. I'm going to start doing joke songs for the Jets. The Angels, these are the joke ones.
Well, you know all of these Suburban Songs. Can we bring out an album? Because they've been so good.
I reckon it'll be a short album as well. Just so, you know, nice little minute and a half.
The Tourism Commission are keen to use it.
Send them over to New South Wales. There's a bit of
nothing on
exercise.
Yeah.
Here's a reminder of one of our favourites. This is the day you did Salisbury Downs.
I'm in Saran again. You're never gonna kick me out. I'm from Salisbury down. She's on the dump again. You're never gonna kick me out.
Now, the careers officer at Salisbury Downs High School hasn't been playing this to the kids after the first week. No,
I'm a bit high, kids.
Righto, whose turn is it today?
We've been copping it because it's all been north of the city, west of the city. The people down south are going, come on.
Oh, they're missing out.
Hit us. So we've decided to go to Pasadena.
Pasadena.
Nice.
And the Big Crow Shopping Centre, is this something?
Oh, it's huge up there.
This is the place to go when you're at Pasadena. Dawes Road High School, where everyone in Pasadena went to high school. Everyone who went to high school in Pasadena. Flinders Uni's nearby. Sure, Shepherd Hill. Centennial Park Cemetery.
Oh, there's plenty of fodder.
Yeah, plenty of fodder.
Plenty of fodder. Right,
dead end of town.
What's the tune today?
Well, the tune is Sweet Home Pasadena.
Righto, let's get into it, shall we? Here's Gleeso from the Screaming Jets. Good start.
Sounds exactly like it. Here we go.
When you're heading south out of the city, there's a place that you should go. They got a big f***ing supermarket.
Cool. Hey,
it used to be called the Big Crow. Here we go. Sweet home Pasadena.
Yeah.
You got a sweet cemetery too. Sweet home Pasadena. Lord, I'm coming home to you. I'm coming home. If you're looking for a home with a view, it's Pasadena.
Oh, yeah. That old gag. Yeah.
Sweet home Pasadena. Just near Flinders Uni, too. Sweet home Pasadena. Lord, I love the altitude. Sweet home Pasadena. They got a sweet sweet home Pasadena. Start, I'm looking down at you. I'm looking down.
Beautiful place.
Yeah.
So, the town plan, I always think about this. Beautiful views up there, and you got all these dead people in the cemetery.
Looking down on
looking at Adelaide. What's the point?
Look down on the dead, I say.
Hey, well done, Gleeso. He'll be back again next Thursday around this time at about 8:30. From good times to home time, Suburban Taxis 131008. See you next week, Gleeso.
See you then, fellas.
So much pressure.
Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's Pressure Test. And
we've opened the purse strings here. Yes. Triple M.
It's now even bigger.
God, the pressure! I can't take it!
Triple M's 5K Pressure Test. With
right.
Roo and Dits for breakfast.
We have got three contestants lining up, Roo.
Yep, let's see how good they listen, Dits. Let's go to Parafield Gardens. G'day, Michael.
How you going, guys?
What are you up to today, Michael?
Hopefully not too much. I had a pretty bad night with the young kids. One of them was having some bad dreams.
Oh, no.
Kept me up all night. They went fishing about 6 months ago out in the boat, and we had some leftover rubbish fish, I guess.
Mm.
We're feeding the pelicans back at the boat ramp. And Smeka, the old one, pushed the young girl into the water.
Oh, no.
So she was waking up all night last night crying, and she finally told us, Tamika, push me in the water.
Righto, Michael. Okay. Thanks for that. Good Terrible. Work. Taking it to the next level there. Let's go to Paralawa. G'day, Pam.
Good morning. Hello, Rindit. How you doing?
Very good, Pam. Thanks, Pam. Just give us a little bit of shorter version of what you're up to today, if you could, please.
Just a little bit. Oh, just getting ready to take a lovely drive down the expressway to deal with our interesting drivers of our beautiful city.
Right. Okay.
And where will that drive take you to? Where are you going to end up?
Down the expressway.
That's all you want to tell us. Yeah. Righto.
Okay. Let's go to Seaford. G'day, Greg. What are you up to today?
Just working, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good. No, that's all right. Good work. I think we'll give it to Pam today, because Michael, in the end, was very annoying.
Oh, Roo! That's terrible. That is Michael. I apologise on my heart. That's a terrible thing to say.
I thought there was going to be a shark or something involved, not a bloody pelican.
Poor kids having nightmares.
Pelicans are friendly. Pelicans.
Sister pushed her in.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Anyway.
Roo, you're horrible. Terrible, Muriel.
Ridiculous.
Hey.
Oh, dear.
All right, Pam. I like you, Pam, anyway.
Okay,
and
good.
That's the main thing. And you're shooting
She's
for 5 grand.
She's on the road to nowhere.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell us where she was going.
No,
right.
Expressway, Port River.
You'll be going to the bank very shortly if you get 10 answers in 30 seconds.
I can't tell you where I'm going. Top secret.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, you're seeing another man.
Tell us later.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You ready to go?
Oh, I think so. There's a bit sharp, but however, we'll give it a try.
All right. Give us 10 foods of the white.
White. Oh, my goodness.
When you're ready.
Can I do sauces? No. Cauliflower.
Yep.
Good. Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Pam, you better turn around and go back to bed.
Well, I think I should go back to bed, mate. I just lost it. No.
Correct. $30, Pam. Sorry,
that
Pam.
That was a hard one.
Yeah,
that's all right, Pam.
Righto.
At least you got through.
Now, Roo, what could Pam have said?
Rice.
Yep.
Sugar. Mm-hmm. Potatoes.
Milk. Cream.
Milk. Cream. Marshmallows,
cheese,
ice cream,
goat's cheese.
Yeah, goat's cheese.
Mm-hmm.
What else is white? Minties.
Mm-hmm.
They're good food. Plenty of things out there, isn't there? What else? You got any others?
Oh, there's plenty. Let's move on.
Let's
shall
move
we?
On.
8:14 ruined it for. That's the worst 5K thing we've ever done.
Well, you stuffed it up the start.
Hey, coming up next, the Angels.
Ruined it for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Thanks to Adelaide Tools, end of financial year catalogue is out now. Roo, I was telling you the story earlier in the week, how I embarrassed my son, unfortunately, at the weekend.
Yeah.
Just quickly.
Didn't embarrass yourself?
Probably did, but, you know, when you do it as often as I do, it's just
get good at it.
You get good at it. Yeah. You get comfortable in your own skin.
That's right.
Anyway, and poor Jack is a bit of a quiet, shy lad, so he didn't take this too well, but Quickly, I had to leap the fence at his soccer game on the weekend. He's playing amateurs.
Let's just define leap.
It was a high fence.
I reckon it was a bit.
So the ball went over the fence.
It would have been a long way from a leap.
Ball went over the fence, and it was a high fence. I didn't realise there's barbed wire at the top of it, just one little row of it, but I got caught
on it. And how high is this fence? Let's be honest.
Sort of above my eye line, yeah. So I had to, you know, climb a little bit.
Mm.
Anyway, I got stuck at the top.
Did you get scared of heights at the same time or not?
No, but I got scared thinking I'm stuck here and everyone's watching me and we're waiting for the ball. Anyway,
just get the ball, Ditz.
Yeah. So
don't worry about your balls.
Ended up, I'm caught in three spots, my ankle, my hand, and under my crutch. I was all caught on this barbed wire. And I thought, well...
Didn't you see the barbed wire when you went to scale?
There was only one little row of it.
Well, they got barbed wire there. What, jail or
keep idiots like me from climbing it, I suppose.
Keep out of the national park.
So I've leapt over and under the crutch there, and it's caught my jeans, and I've ripped this real good pair of jeans right down, so my bum's hanging out.
The
rod and gun jeans. Yeah, very expensive.
You shouldn't have them in your wardrobe.
I've got the ball and I've thrown the ball back over the fence. And then, of course, I'm looking at the fence thinking, now I've got to get back over it again. And ripped again on the way back. Didn't learn my lesson the first time. So it's not looking good. Anyway, I've had a reaction. The reason I'm talking about this again is so many people have come up to me and said, oh, yeah, what about when I ripped, you know, the backside out of my pants and rah, rah. So had a big reaction to this. So,
and your wife gave you a big spray for ruining your pants that you bought on holidays.
Yes. Has this happened to you?
Oh, I've ripped my pants. Well, I think every bloke's ripped their pants because you try and do the right thing and you think you're, you know, younger than what you are. I think Ryan Fitzgerald got married at Adelaide Oval a few years back.
Yeah.
And, that doesn't happen too often. And everyone got to go out and have a kick in their suits and running around. And we'd had a few drinks by then. It was a hot day too, I remember it. And we're running around and trying to take speckies and, you know, show off and do all the things you do when you've had a few drinks and at a mate's wedding. And I'd put on a few kilos towards the end of the career and
retirement.
After the career. And the suit was probably a little bit tighter than when I bought it. And went to take a hanger and zzz, the whole one, the butt cheek, all the way down the leg, just ripped a decent suit wide open. So then I had air conditioning for the rest of the night, which wasn't a bad thing on a hot day.
So you were at this wedding all day with your bum hanging out.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's, I was comfortable. That was amongst friends anyway. Yeah. And
Roo can do anything.
I can do anything at Adelaide Oval. So, we had a bit of fun. So just deal with it, don't you?
Yeah. I'm interested in the best wardrobe malfunctions as well. Not just ripping your pants. I mean, everyone's done that, but wardrobe malfunctions. My son's girlfriend appeared, this is funny, she was on the Ellen Show, would you believe, in America as a dancer.
Gee.
And,
not the current one.
The top sort of burst open, fell down, and she had to quickly throw her hands across her chest and run off stage. Yeah,
so little malfunction.
Actually, no, this was a
few
big
people watching.
It's actually
show
very,
too.
Very big malfunction. So what's happened to you? 133353. We've got tickets to the footy. Can you top that? Also, we had a friend of the Lucky Kates come over one day, and she'd caught the bus to our place. And she was wearing a skirt. And when she walked in from the front, no worries, how are you going? Yeah. And she turned around and she'd tucked the back of her skirt into her pantyhose. And she'd come the whole way.
Didn't know.
Yeah. And so she's got her bum hanging out on the bus and everything. It was fantastic. And we didn't have the heart to tell her because it was a long bus ride. And we thought, you've just caught on a packed bus.
So what, you didn't tell her at all?
No.
Oh, good friends.
Well, couldn't.
Oh, you can let her take the mickey out of your mates.
Would have embarrassed her.
So how did she find out?
Well, eventually she actually used our bathroom, and when she came back, it was all back in order.
And then she's thinking, well, these people didn't even tell me.
Well, maybe she didn't even know. She just went and sat on the toot and, you know, pulled it all down and nothing, didn't know any better.
None the wiser. Oh, well.
Give us your best wardrobe malfunction. We've got a double to go and see Port Adelaide and Brisbane.
Yep.
Tickets thanks to the Port Adelaide Football Club this weekend. Port Adelaide need to bounce back. Give us a ring. What's happened to you? 133353.
Triple M.
6:51, all thanks to Adelaide Tools. What about the big malfunction you had during a game once, didn't you?
Oh, I had a little bit of one. Yeah, my jocks gave way. The elastic in my jocks gave way over in Subiaco at the House of Pain.
Yep.
And I won Tool of the Week for this little episode.
Right.
And usually you win Tool of the Week for being a tool.
Yeah.
I won Tool of the Week for my tool hanging out.
It was hanging out your shorts?
Well, just not like hanging down near the ground or anything. But well, you know what it's like when you're running around nude.
Yeah.
It's because you do that a fair bit in the backyard. Uh-huh. But it doesn't feel right. I got tackled and my elastic broke in my jocks, and I had to all of a sudden I had to do a lead flat out.
Mm.
And I was running along and I could just feel something wasn't right. And I just the ball was coming and I had to make a decision. So I was sort of trying to tuck it in with one on my left hand and mark the ball with my right. This is a true story. And did it. And won Tool of the Week from Anthony Limo on Channel 10's Before the Game. So that's a malfunction.
Well, as I said to you last time you told this, I wish mine could hang out my shorts.
Yeah, even if it's an inch long, it feels like it's hanging out when you're playing that.
Well, see, the first mistake, don't get tackled.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
I got tackled and the tackle came out.
All right, let's go to Craig Moore. Hello, Stab.
Hello, you guys.
How are you, mate? What happened to you?
It was at my own wedding. The boys were encouraging me to do the Zorba.
Oh, the Zorba.
Went down, heard the rip, and then we had to try and go for photos afterwards.
So this is at your own wedding?
Yeah, it's at my own wedding.
Probably a higher suit. Was it a higher suit as well?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, not getting the bond back there.
No, no bond back there. Let's go to Freeling. G'day, Mark.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good, buddy. What's happening?
Yeah, I used to coach a junior soccer team, and my wife normally would get everything ready for me and have it sorted, but she went to work that morning and I had to sort myself out. And I got to the game and everything was going well, and she rocked up towards the end of the game and comes up to me and says, Mark, your shirt's inside out.
Well done.
You couldn't even put your shirt on the right way, mate.
I had it inside out, boys. And I just looked at it and you could see all the, it was so obvious. Tag sticking out the back and all the, the soccer logo and everything the wrong way around.
Mark, I always feel it. I mean, to be fair, you're a 50-50 chance with these things. I find when I'm dressed, it's a one in two.
Dark.
Was it an 8:30 Sunday morning sort of coaching gig?
I think it might have been.
Spot on, mate.
Good on you, Mark. Good, well done. Kim at Morfitt Vale. G'day, Kim.
Morning, fellas. I was over in a bar in Western Australia at Esperance, and a friend of mine, Jenny, who she was wearing a sarong, and I have to say, this woman had the body just to die for. And she said, Kim, would you like to have a game of eight ball against these guys? They've been holding the table a while. And I said, yeah, no worries. So we ended up winning the game. And after we'd won the game, Jenny put the cue above her head and started jumping up and down, and her sarong just hit the floor. And to this day, that image is still burnt in my retina. So she had the body of a goddess. And she never had to buy a drink for the rest of the day. The whole bar was just like,
I've been to Esperance. It's a beautiful place, Kim, isn't it? Well done. Let's go to Port Adelaide.
Is Jenny
Adelaide
available for more games of eight ball or not? Yeah, let's go to Josh at Port Adelaide. Hello, Josh.
How you going, fellas?
Good, Josh. Good,
I was fishing in Port Lincoln National Park with a few of the boys, and I just thought we were going off the rocks, so I didn't bring any shorts. And we ended up going off the beach, and they said, well, we're going to have to get your knees wet, So I stripped down to my jocks and said, I had a bit of an itch, so I scratched it and just ripped a big hole straight in the crutch, and my tackle was hanging out all day.
No, Joshy. You wouldn't have had to put any burley in the water probably after that, mate.
Get on you, Josh. Yeah, I think we like Kim, don't we?
I think Kim wins
hands down.
Yeah, the Esperance eight ball champion. We'll give it to Kim. You got tickets to go and see Port and Brisbane Saturday afternoon at 4:05. Big game for Port Adelaide to respond from last week.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics, the big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Oh, Batesy's back, Rue, by popular demand, the new angel. How are you, Batesy?
I'm good, how are you?
I've just heard an interesting story. Now, your boyfriend's been in Iraq.
Yes, he has deployed.
Well done, and, brave that anyone goes over there, so he's an outstanding individual. But he's been back for a few days and they're holding him in Darwin.
Holding him.
You must be gagging.
Be this weekend. No. he has to do training. He has to do all the decompression, all of those things. So
what do you mean decompression?
Wait. He's not diving, is he?
No, but they have to do all of their psych assessments, training things.
I know what it'd help
I'm
him.
I'm not really versed
in it. A weekend with you would help all
good,
that.
Good dinner.
Crikey. How long has he been away?
Since November.
November?
Last year.
Gee whiz, mate.
So 6.5 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why didn't you fly up to Darwin?
Because I have no leave left. And so I'm seeing him Sunday. That's so enough.
What's another Sunday few days when he's been away for 6 months?
It's going to happen at the airport, right? Yeah. In the car park.
Oh, my God, sorry.
Come on, kids.
Won't even get home. All right, let's clean this up a bit. Yeah. Mel the Button Pusher, good morning.
G'day.
Mel's in foal. How's it all going?
Great, thank you.
Good. And Alice the Wag.
Hello.
Righto.
I've got one I want to get off my chest. The amount of time my wife spends looking in her handbag for things, most of the time keys. She just... And she goes in every different compartment. I say, why don't you put the bloody keys in the same spot in your handbag every time so you know where they are?
Oh, come on, bro.
No, it gives you
common
sense.
It's not that easy.
What do you mean it's not that easy?
Because you put your keys in a certain, handbags have so many pockets.
Yeah, put it in the same one
every
time.
No, because then you forget what pocket you put it in.
Oh.
So then, you think you've lost it. So, it's hidden.
Oh.
It's actually a really, really hard thing.
You're embarrassing yourself.
No, I'm not. You don't even have a handbag. You don't understand the struggle.
Oh, good. Just keep rifling through every time. Then. Yeah. Don't put it in the same
spot. Don't make
spot.
It easy for yourself. Spend half your life looking into your handbag.
Do you know that they've worked out women spend 81 days of their lives rifling through their handbag?
I believe that.
I definitely believe that.
Yeah.
It's just so hard, because then you change handbags. So, you go out for a night out and you need a smaller handbag. So then you put half your stuff in that handbag. So at the moment, I've got 5 handbags, all with different stuff in it.
Mm. Try having one handbag.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Because of this situation, I lost my wallet on the weekend. Because I thought it was in my handbag.
I'm not sure if that's
it. Wasn't the 80,000 vodkas.
Now, Alice the Wag's purse at the moment is in country New South Wales.
Halfway between.
This is true.
It's in Sunshine.
Sunshine.
Right. It'd be empty then.
Batesy, I would find carrying a handbag all the time an absolute pain.
You'll get used to carrying
something around.
It's horrendous. I was in an appointment yesterday. The worst part are the small things. Mm. So I went to reach a pen in front of a client and I pulled out 3 different lip glosses. And he's like, do you need a minute? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, rifling through. Oh, like, it was so embarrassing. I'm like, I'm really not this person. Well, not yet.
Wonder why.
Gee.
You might need to go on. Pulled out, I thought it was a lip balm. So I pulled it out of my handbag. We've all done it. You pull it out of your handbag and you start rubbing your lips with it, but it's a tampon.
Yeah. Oh, we've all done it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're the same width.
I can't believe this. God. Mel the Button Pusher.
I bought props.
Her handbag.
Pink Bunny.
She's a mother.
I've got a menu for a dumplings restaurant. I've got 3 tubes of sunscreen and a pawpaw ointment and glasses cleaner.
Where are your keys, though? Where are your keys?
I have no idea.
This is absolutely perfect.
So you're down to your last 3 sunblocks, are you?
Yeah.
All right. You need to go shopping.
She is sun smart.
In the middle of winter, that totally makes sense.
I am always, if you ever want a wet wipe or a Band-Aid,
the girl to go to.
And do you know what men always do? They never have anything. Or it's like you go out, it's like, hey, babe, can you just put my keys in your handbag? No, because my handbag's not big enough. And then you have 2 sets of keys in there.
Right, wind it up. You ripped your pants on the weekend.
Yeah, so
scaling or hurdling or leaping a fence.
Got caught on the barbed wire.
I'm sure these girls have had a few malfunctions, haven't they?
Wardrobe malfunctions, Batesy.
I've had a horrendous one. So I, as you guys know, was quite a bigger girl back in the day and I ripped my pants, but they almost exploded at the seams, but I didn't know. And so not only did I leave work, I went to the post office and I was in the line at Australia Post and this woman tapped me on the shoulder and I had bright green undies on and black pants. And she's like, your pants are ripped, love. I'm so sorry to tell you this, but they weren't just ripped apart. It was like they'd exploded from the back.
God.
There was no saving it.
You didn't feel the cold air or anything?
Nothing. I don't know what I was doing. It was the middle of summer, to be fair. But, oh my gosh.
Do you know how you did it?
I remember I kind of jumped onto the chair and it must have just gone. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
So,
righto.
You would have done heaps.
I can't wear boob tubes out anymore, where you don't have straps. Because it's just so often you'll be dancing and then all of a sudden someone's like, oh, babe, your boob. And you're just dancing, flailing about with just your right nipple out or something. But I had one the other day and I'd walked all the way to Brighton with my dog and I'm from Glenelg. And then I bent down at Brighton to pick up his ball and my pants ripped and I only had a G-bang on. So I had to walk all the way back from Brighton to Glenelg with just a butt cheek hanging out. And there was nothing I could do about it. I had nothing to cover it up. I didn't have a jumper or anything.
There's going
to
be people lining up between Glenelg and Brighton waiting for her to take a dog for a walk.
Can I walk home on my own? I have to walk with you. Mel the button pusher.
Thankfully, you guys don't seem to pay any attention to me because I come in here constantly with tops inside out and dresses inside out.
We know.
We just don't tell you. Do you know, anyone who doesn't tell someone when they see this is
not a
jerk.
Good friend.
Yeah.
Not a horrible. No.
Yeah, we'll tell you from now on.
Thank you.
No. This is like a boys' code. Now, I've got this mate who's a model, and
he's got a mate who's a model.
He knows he's good looking, and he, you know, hit with all the women and all that. And he had this massive thing of snot hanging out his nose one day. Well, you don't tell him because he's going around talking all these chicks in the bar.
No, that's funny.
Oh, that's so mean.
No, bugger him. No.
That's funny.
So yeah, if I had a hot friend, I wouldn't tell her.
You're not a real mate.
No, I am. Because you've got to put him under that sort of pressure.
Stop him.
Anyway, thanks, Angels.
Thanks.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Triple M, Rue, the towering inferno in London. Just horrific scenes. I've never seen anything like this as far as a fire is concerned.
This was really horrific. There's people who were jumping out of the place. There's a man who threw two of his children. Come on, man. We saw a lot with our own eyes. We saw friends, families.
Rue, 600 people live in that building, or did live in it. So they're now basically homeless. 12 have been confirmed dead, but it could be as many as 50 from what we've heard this morning. Just a terrible situation.
Shocking. And in some of the stories, they're talking about a type of cladding that could have assisted in this fire getting a lot bigger than what it started at. They're talking about a fridge exploding or a freezer exploding or something like that. But they're talking about this material called ACM, which I think means aluminium composite material. And they said it was involved. There's 14 high-rises over the world that have burnt down with this material in it, and one was in Melbourne in 2014. I just wonder how many others are in Australia have got this material.
It's a very good question to ask this morning, isn't it? The CEO of the Master Builders Association of South Australia is Ian Marcos, and he joins us. Ian, good morning. Should we be concerned about this material here in Adelaide or in Australia?
Not really, guys. I mean, there was one in Melbourne, which you did talk about, which did have a direct link to the cladding. And the material was a composite. It was called Aluka Best. It was made in China, not to be confused with Aluka Bond, which is a complying product. So there are complying and non-complying products. The one in Melbourne obviously started on a balcony. I think it was a barbecue or something, but there was mainly two-bedroom apartments, up to five people living in them, and there was a lot of clothes and personal belongings on all the balconies, which started fire and then obviously went to the cladding.
So, Ian, you don't think there's a direct correlation between this type of cladding and these high-rise fires that have happened all over the world?
There has been ruin, some of them. There has been a link. The London disaster that's just occurred, at this stage, there has not been a direct link to that. And, you know, it's obviously wise for everybody to wait and see what the authorities over there find, as in, what caused the fire, and then have a look at it there. But
so they're just speculating. Is that what you're saying, that this cladding was there? Because I read an article about it. That's why we're bringing it up.
The only way you can determine if that cladding's been installed is to take some of the cladding and do what we call a destructive test on it. We've got to let everybody do the investigations and then have a look at it. That has occurred here in Australia with the one in Melbourne. That building, that external cladding has to be replaced. However, the Melbourne City Council have said it is still fit to occupy as long as people don't leave all their personal belongings, et cetera, out on the balconies. They've got to be kept clean.
So can you give us an indication of a description of what this cladding is? What type of material is it?
It's aluminium. Sheeting, very thin aluminium sheeting with a foam filler in it, right. And obviously is highly combustible. But there are certain standards around its manufacture for flammability. And, you know, there are products that do comply and meet the Australian Building Code requirements and the Australian standards. Unfortunately, the stuff that was used in some of the other buildings, like I said, never met those strict standards, and it was manufactured and supplied from China. Now, in building processes here, you know, people have to conform to the Australian Building Code. That is checked before the products are used. However, there is still an issue in the country around what we call non-conforming products, and that's really an issue that needs to be sorted out nationally, consistently, right across the country.
Is that from renovations that were done prior to changes to compliance? Is that what you mean by that?
Oh, no, even now, I mean, some products come in from overseas, and, you know, a lot of world manufacturing now is in China. And, you know, some products that come out still contain things like asbestos in them when they shouldn't, for example. So, you know, we really need to be diligent in that area, and it needs a strong national approach.
The London building, would their regulations be as strict as what they are in Australia? They'd have to be, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right, Ian, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime.
There you go. Ian Marcos, CEO of the Master Builders Association in South Australia. Roo, he just made a point. I know of a fella here, Roo, who recently imported stuff on a grand scale from China, and it was chock-a-block full of asbestos.
You'd think that would have to be checked off. You'd think we'd...
No, they're told it wouldn't. It didn't have. So the Chinese have... And I'm not blanketing China at fault in all of these situations, but Ian just made the point. We have to check, you know, really stringently what we're bringing in from overseas.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't be throwing kids out of a building, can you, unnecessarily, if that's what it's caused it. So it's horrible stuff. Absolutely horrible. Dits as bad as it gets.
Mm.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.